Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dream work for your health and wholeness. With hosts Billy Ortiz and Dr. Royce Fitz. Although today we don't have Billy Ortiz with us, it is just Dr. Royce Fitz and I am the producer, Viviana. We encourage you to like and subscribe and leave us a little note. It helps the algorithms. It keeps us going. It also makes us, puts a smile on our face. So if you like this podcast, please let us know. We were discussing, just before pressing play, record, the possibility or what to do with old dreams. And I like that. I like thinking about that, because I certainly haven't, I've been keeping a dream log since I was in my 20s. So Royce, what, do you have dreams from back then as well?
I do. I have an old 3-ring binder. And prior to that, I had just kept a journal, you know, on a tablet or sometimes in an official dream journal book for years and years and years. Now, the old 3-ring binder that I'm referring to has its own dreams. Inside the binder, there are probably 10 years worth of dreams prior to making that binder. And then after that, some time, I started to journal using Google Docs when Google Docs first came out in Gmail. So inside of Google Docs, I have, I don't know, I call it volumes, and it roughly broke down into years. So that became another form of a collection of old dreams. And in recent years, I use Google Keep, the app. iPhone people have their own version of that. And so I have several years, at least two, if not three or more, of Google Keep dream journals. Okay. And your larger question is, what do you do with old dreams, right? What do you do, Viviana, with old
dreams? Well, I would love to bring them to the podcast and work out an old dream. While you were speaking about where you keep your old dreams or in the past, how you've logged them, I wanted to ask, I was just curious because I've never asked you, how did you get into dreams? I mean, what made you decide to even record them?
Well, I'm going to stutter a little bit because for many years as a child, I would pay attention to dreams, but I never recorded them. And but once in a while, there would be a dream conversation in the family. Not very much, but that was something that kind of, you know, encouraged. And my mom was and is a very intuitive, a bit scary with her intuitive kinds of energies. And so the dream and the intuition conversations would kind of blend together. Probably in college is when I started to do a little more dream work, not officially. And then in my first graduate school in my seminary, I began to actually record some dreams. I don't know where they are, those specific dreams. When I went into my doctoral program years later, which was probably about 1992, 93, I was also in therapy personally, and actually my wife at the time and I were working together. And so I had a lovely therapist who encouraged journaling as well as doing some, her version of Gestalt dream work. And and you know, another thing, Viviana, around that time or before that time, we were a part of a very intimate small group of people that would get together weekly, and we would share our own personal journeys and struggles, as well as party together. Well, there were so many shrinks in this group, and I was a minister at that time in training. Yet we were all very curious about dreams. And at that time, the Gestalt approach of dream work, and also the approach, which is which I call dream drama, is used, where the group of people begin to act out a particular dream. So we would have, in this beautiful house and living room, we would have dream acting out.
Wow.
And then we would share what it's like to be a part of the elements of somebody else's dream.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, big encouragement. Yeah. And so that led to my doctoral program eventually, and doing lots of dream work and studying Carl Jung's approach, Freud's approach, Fritz Perls approach in understanding dreams. And then, 20 years ago or so, I met Jeremy Taylor, who had this beautiful concept called projective dream work. And that was one of those moments that changed my life, both dream wise as well as spiritual and physical life, to work on dreams in the projective format.
Beautiful.
Yeah, great question. Thank you for letting me walk down that dream alley,
yeah,
that dream memory. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, I got into, I had a dream that actually verbatim came true, and when I was 18, and that's
big medicine here.
Yeah, no, and it was just so specific and perfect, and it exactly came true. I lived it, but I dreamt it first. I wrote it down, and then it actually lived through it. So I just knew from that moment that dreams were very important, and certainly the fact that that happens, and several times afterwards too. For me, dreams it's almost like I think when I do feel that deja vu feeling, I just know that I've dreamt it before. At least for me, that's how I, it feels that that's what's happened. And several times I've written things down and then they happen. So it's just, I just, for me, realized that they were important. But going back to our initial discussion, I have not worked an old dream like from 20, 30 years ago. And I would love to start doing that. So I would love to, in the future, make it one of our, or maybe several discussions, to bring in an old dream. And also, you, a listener, if you have an old dream that you want to work out too. I think we did work your publisher's, her dream was an older dream, wasn't it?
Oh, right. When
Thea
Rodemaker was on our podcast, she worked a very old dream. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we had other people as well who worked old dreams. But I have read my older dreams and I have zero connection to them. And so I'd be very curious to see what would come up, you know?
Right. And when you say zero connection, how I interpret that is I have zero emotional attachment to this. I dreamt it years ago. I don't know why. I don't know what prompted it. I don't even have any feelings about it. And that's all wonderful news because the dream lives on and is not dependent on how we feel.
Yeah.
And in some of our dream work, as you and I have talked about, dreams are so full of emotion a lot of times when we have them that the emotion crowds out the probably more important elements of the dream because, you know, the amygdala and the brainstem are screaming, this is real, this is real. And so we don't have as much opportunity to delve into the beauty of the symbols and the dream story. So your dreams that you have no attachment to would be wonderful because they're perfect for us to project our own stuff on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious too, Viviana, a dream when you were 18 and, you know, what are you now, 32-ish?
And holding, yeah.
Yeah, 32 and holding. So a dream that long ago that came to you in which you actually lived it out in the waking world. That, in my experience, is very rare. And I also would like to say that dreams are rarely to be interpreted literally. Not to say they never should be. Mm-hmm. However, it's so easy to go literal on any given dream.
Mm.
And what was that dream? And if we were to work on that dream today,
yeah,
not recommending it necessarily for this podcast.
No,
however,
I can totally go tell you about it.
Okay.
If you want to do it today.
I'm open and let's have the dream.
Sure, let's do it. This is not what we had planned to do, but let's do it. Because I'm curious what would come up.
Well, yes. And again, you have a wonderful invitation to our dream audience to say, if you have an old dream, let's let it live again and bring it to the podcast. And we can work that kind of dream because a dream keeps giving over and over again. And the beauty of the dream is that it is timeless and it too may morph for whatever we're aware of in the here and now. It will always speak to us. The dream is timeless. Now, there may be obvious factual issues in the dream that were, you know, going on 20 years ago. However, that is not just what the dream is about. The dream has multiple levels of meaning, and they are, in my belief system, eternal.
Wow. Okay. I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, one more little piece.
Yeah.
You happen to notice my book by chance? Okay. In that book, there are several dreams in which I work on that are 20, 30, or so years old.
And that's right.
That's part of the beauty in this book, I believe, is to say a dream really is timeless and it is still guiding us even beyond our conscious awareness.
Yeah, and that is an element. I'm glad you brought that up because it is part of the book that makes it unique, that I resonated with, that I loved reading about, and how how you weaved the dream with what was going on and back and forth. And I love
the present.
That.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that was totally consciously uninvited. The unconscious or the inner self knew what it was doing. But yeah, it was a weaving of past to present and perhaps future. So Viviana, do you want to use your dream when you were 18? Do you want to explore
it? Sure.
Let's go for it.
Okay. So the night I had the dream, I was spending the night with my friend Gisela in her parents' house. We were about to fly. It was my first time to go to Spain. We were going to visit her family. She and I were going together, just the two of us. And I remember seeing on the bookshelf to my left a statue of a Don Quixote with a windmill. Don Quixote from the novel, the Spanish novel. And I just remember seeing it, you know, as one of the many things that I saw. And it was in her father's study, and it was on the bookshelf. Well, so that night I was just very excited. I barely could fall asleep because I was just so excited, and we were leaving early the next morning. I woke up, and the dream was that I felt this like energies looking at me. I felt like people were just looking at me. And then I looked to the left, and on the bookshelf there was a Don Quixote with a windmill. No, sorry, with the dog. And so when I woke up, I thought, oh, I dreamt with a version of the statue downstairs. The one downstairs was of the windmill, but in the dream, it was a Don Quixote with a dog. And that's why I remembered it. I was like, oh, that was interesting. So fast forward, I'm in Spain. I'm with Gisela and her family, all her relatives, her cousins, her aunts and uncle. They all want me to play my flute. So I'm putting my flute together and I feel all of them looking at me. And then I look up to the left on the bookshelf, and there's the statue of the Don Quixote with the dog. And I just go, oh! Wow. You know, and that was it.
And so, when the dreamer says, I lived out this dream literally, say more about how, as the dreamer, I lived this dream out.
Well, it's just sort of a split second of feeling a deja vu. So the deja vu was that I felt people looking at me, or the dream was, because I dreamt it first. People were looking at me, and then I look, and then on the bookshelf is a Don Quixote with the dog. And then I wake up and I think, oh, I just dreamt with a version of the statue that I saw downstairs. But then when I lived it actually, I was getting my instrument together. I was about to perform for them, and they were all watching me. So I felt that energy of being watched. And then I saw on the bookshelf in real life that Don Quixote with the dog that I had dreamt. So that's what, and again, it all happened so quickly. And that's what deja vus for me are as well. It's just the split second of, oh, wait a minute, I've been here before, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that I dreamt it, and it was so clear, so vivid, and I woke up and I remembered it, and then I lived it. That's when I thought, whoa, dreams are important.
And that's a beautiful, enchanting dream story. And so in the pattern that we often do to gain more understanding of the dreamer's dream, I'm curious, You said you were leaving for Spain the next morning. But where were you living at the time?
At the time, I was in Houston.
Okay. At 18, I was in Houston. And I was staying at the home of my friend, and her name again?
Gisela.
Gisela. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she is from Spain.
Her father was from Spain. Her mother was from Germany. And they lived in Houston. We were at Rice University studying together. And and we were going to her father's side of the family in Spain, visiting them.
So as the dreamer, was the whole family going?
Oh, just the two of us were going.
The two of us to see her family and to be in her world.
Yeah.
And so in the dream, in the waking world, I'm with Gisela, and I am excited. I probably couldn't sleep very well. Anyway, I happened to notice a book on her father's library shelf.
A statue,
okay, of Don Quixote.
Yeah.
And the windmill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and then did I hear you say that downstairs there was another statue of Don Quixote, this time with a dog? Or is this just the only Don Quixote with the windmill that I saw in my waking life?
Correct. The only Don Quixote that I saw in my waking life was with the windmill. Mm-hmm. And then I dreamt of with the dog. Mm-hmm. And then I lived in Spain with the dog.
So I dreamt this. And then in Spain, there was a waking moment when I saw the book or the statue with a dog.
Yeah.
Did I hear you say I lived with the dog?
No.
Okay. I misheard you. Okay. So this dream came to me with a time in my life when the world is opening up for me. And just another quick wonder. When I saw the dog in the dream, what tell me more about the dog.
So it was first that I saw in the study the statue of Don Quixote with the windmill.
Yes.
And then in my dreamt of Don Quixote with the dog. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know anything about the dog. It was just the fact that it was a statue with Don Quixote and the dog. Mm-hmm. And then I lived and I saw it in real life. I should have taken a picture of it, but it was before we had cameras. So.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, but you didn't have a phone camera for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So the reason I was asking about a dog, what the dreamer's memory is in the dream about the dog is dogs can be amazing holders of our dream world, dream projections. And in the waking world, I see the Don Quixote statue with a windmill. And it's, you know, it's a very, very well-known image that many of us carry, easy to think of. Don Quixote chasing windmills, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. In the dream, though, in my dream, he's not chasing windmills. There is a dog. And so my immediate projection is, a kind of loyal companion. And in my projections about Don Quixote, you know, to dream the impossible dream, is like, oh my gosh, here is my calling that is on one level foolish, not reality based, and on another level becomes my calling in life, because as my friend Viviana often loves to share, I've been to 132 countries or more, and I love this. My energy is unlocked. I perform in front of many, 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 many scores of people, thousands of people. And as I am, I also am receiving as well as giving. So this beautiful circle of energy. And at 18, I believe, I did not know what that would look like. At 18, however, my inner self was dreaming the impossible dream and making my dream possible. And showing me this isn't a windmill that I'm tipping at. There is a dog here. And for me, this is a way for my dream maker, my dream self, to say, don't just assume I'm going to dream, you know, this very beautiful image of Don Quixote and the windmill. That is not what my dream maker is wanting me to pay attention to. The dream maker makes a very big change, and this is a dog. And there's this beautiful, you know, a lot of times as we speak of pets, they represent to some extent our domestic energies and our loyal energies, and that we can trust a dog, and at least many people can, to be a loyal friend, the forever friend, the best friend a human might have besides another human. And so this is representing for me an element of the dream maker that is always going to be with me as I go into the world as one who is looking for the possibilities of what the world sometimes says are impossible. And what my dream maker self says is possible. So it's a beautiful clash. And then, you know, this is a Carl Jung moment in my experience, an amazing synchronicity. I go with my beloved friend all the way to Spain. I'm there. I'm enjoying family, her family. I'm invited. I feel the warmth. And I also feel the challenge to engage the world in a whole new way, because I'm out of my, you know, I'm not in Houston anymore. I'm not in Kansas. I'm not in Chile. I am in Spain, where Don Quixote is also, and this beautiful story and dreamlike image. And I see Don Quixote with a dog. Now, who could make that up? I can't, you can't, the dream can, because the dream seems to know somehow that what we dream may also exist in the waking world. That who calls forth the dream? Who calls forth this dream? So in my projection, the power and beauty, the poetry, the story of Don Quixote is somehow embedded in me. And Don Quixote, the symbol of this energy, has called forth the dream. So in America, I'm dreaming this dream. In Spain, I see this. And this becomes a kind of a mantra, a calling, a touchstone for all that I will experience. Out of that companionship of this dog that reminds me of loyalty and energy that I know how to express. This is the domestic energy. If this was a wild boar in my dream, that wouldn't be my domestic energy. I cannot live like a wild boar, but I have trained in my musical abilities at 18 to be able to use this energy in beautiful ways of communicating. And my soul sings when I play, and other people's souls sing when I am being heard to play. So this is such a disciplined moment of beauty. And it also sets my my path to do this over and over in the world.
Wow. I'm speechless. Okay. You touched on so much. Oh my gosh.
Oh, good.
So much. I mean, it did become a symbol of my entire life. Not only my fascination with dreams, but the fact that I am performing and that kept being a recurring thing in my life, a loyal companion in my life. Also, I think the story of Don Quixote is a bit of a dream itself, I think. I actually have never read it. I don't know. But I think he's just this crazy lunatic sort of thing. And in a way, I'm a crazy lunatic for living my crazy way.
Dream for living my crazy dream. Yeah.
Well, my life is but a dream. And it is an impossible. I mean, who?
Right.
Anyway, I love the travel aspect of it, that it is, it brings in Spain, which was so foreign to me at the time, and the dog being the domestic, the loyal partner, which is what my travels have become and my music has become for me. Very loyal and very my companion constantly. And it's also, like you mentioned, my path. It totally became my path. I also just start, because of the impact that this dream had on me, I started to record all my dreams. I felt that they were so necessary and important in my life, and it also underlined the importance of journaling for me as well. I had already started journaling because I received a journal for a birthday, for my 9-year-old birthday, and so I always kept a journal. But this dream made me also record dreams, and so it became my path, both my dream path and my whole life is a dream, I feel, because it's like a dream come true. At the time when I was studying music, I had no idea if I could really make this whole thing happen. And I actually started a pre-med because I thought, well, that's a steady, that's makes sense. That's more logical. And it, you know, I could actually make a living out of that. And who knew that the flute would take me around the planet to 135 countries. So yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right. So this speaks to me about how the calling is eternal. And we don't know how the calling is formed or will be formed. If the however is, we listen to the calling. Viviana, you're frozen on my end. Am I frozen on your end?
You're not frozen.
Oh, now you finally came back. Okay, good. So hopefully on the YouTube, there will be no freezing. Do I remember anything about the dog? Do I remember that the dog was black or brown or white or the kind?
No, I mean, it wasn't a poodle, I can say that.
Okay.
It was maybe lanky, but because Don Quixote is always lanky, and the dog was similar like that too. But really? I don't know enough about dogs. I've never even owned a dog, so I don't know much about dogs.
Well, my dream self evidently does. And I love how you said the dog was kind of lanky, sort of like Don Quixote. And in the drawings I've seen on the book and in other, when the musicals are presented, Don Quixote, even though it seems like he is in armor of some kind as he, is going to joust, also he looks lanky and he looks disheveled. Like these things, this armor and any clothes he's wearing doesn't really fit. He just kind of hangs on him. And again, I love how that is reflected with the dog, that there is a kind of a harmony, a unity between the two. In my projections, I love dogs. I love all animals, and I'm especially drawn to dogs. And because of their, as we've talked about in other dream broadcasts, they represent a kind of unconditional love, that they are called to our side and we are called to their side. And there's amazing stories of dogs saving lives and also sacrificing their lives for their owner. Mm-hmm. So all of this for me fits in. Now, if I were in Houston and I dreamt of going to Fort Worth, Texas, this dream would not have the impact. I don't know that I would have had the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that when I was so ready to go across the earth, this symbolized the cracking open of my old self, that I'm going to fly. I'm mm-hmm. going to be more than what I even know that I am. And so that shaking of my foundations by landing in Spain, which seemed to be, quote, meant to be, and I don't say that phrase very easily, it was like the dream knew.
Mm-hmm.
In the collective unconscious, at least I'll say this, there is the possibility that the dream knew that across the world, in this home, was also a picture of Don Quixote with a dog that matches my dream, and that changed my life forever. In fact, it changed me so much that I began to pay attention even more to the inner self.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if I didn't, if I would have said, no, thank you, and just dismissed it as coincidence, you and I would not be having this conversation. This is a synchronicity, and Carl Jung invented the concept, maybe the word, I don't remember, but he talked about these strange things that happen in dreams that perhaps the next day or soon thereafter happen in the waking world. And he has this amazing story of one of his patients that told him a dream of a certain kind of insect. And in that moment, in Carl Jung's office with his patient, this a similar insect bumped on the window and was looking very similar to the one in the dream at that instant. You can't make that up. By the way, the insect that Carl Jung refers to, and I don't remember the name, and our listeners can probably do a better Google search than I can at this instant, but that particular insect was from, I believe, Northern Africa, and Carl Jung was in Switzerland, if my memory is correct, with his patient when a similar looking bug insect banged on the window. It's like, hello, hello, time. Yeah. So this is, in the dream world, this isn't weird. Mm-hmm. In the waking world, Viviana, this is a very strange dream. Mm. And this dream also has callings within it.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't pay attention to dreams, we would not pay attention to the calling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely, it's true. It did change my path, I would say. It certainly changed my perspective, my intention. Mm-hmm. And it was the beginning of my travels, literally. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of my music. It was the beginning of my paying attention to my dreams. And I feel that subsequently, because I pay attention to my dreams, they're always giving me the next step and I look for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had other instances where I feel, oh, deja vu, I've dreamt this before, you know, and so I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Right, the right path. And that's an interesting choice of words. I'm on the right path. And unless I have a way to have facts, perhaps what we call waking life facts and logic, and the internal or spiritual intuitive facts, if I can use that same word, when we have those together is when the greater sense of calling unfolds, I believe. And I'm hearing you say that that was true
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we went on air, you talked about wanting to go look at at several places in the Southwest. And what you said is, I need to be there to feel this
mm-hmm.
energy, to mm-hmm. feel the land, to feel mm-hmm. the air, the heat, perhaps the mm-hmm. the sense of beingness with the land, because that speaks to you as well as in your psyche, you speak to the land, and you're looking mm-hmm. for a circular connection that feeds both.
Yeah, I whenever I travel and I land, like if I land in Chile, it's almost like I enter a new frequency. It feels like a different frequency for me. And mm-hmm. if I resonate with that frequency, then I flourish. But if I don't, for example, I didn't resonate with Houston, just by the way. And the soonest I could get out of there, I flew out of there very quickly. I also didn't resonate with New York City. But in mm-hmm. California, I came to California and I was like, oh, this. And I made the impulsive move to just moving immediately. So mm-hmm. I very much resonate, or I pay attention to what the frequency is. And if it feels good, then I stay there. mm-hmm. That's how I am with picking places to live.
Yeah. Right. And I would like to try to lift up this perhaps thin line. Because I think a calling invites all of our being to consider what the calling's result will look like. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know some people in my world, in the world of our universe, that are very impulsive, and they kind of go with, you know, the jump. And maybe they're right, I don't know. However, what I'm hearing in your holding of this is that your inner self, your physical self, your brain is sensitized also to the unseen, which yeah. sometimes are described as other energies in the dream world. Mm-hmm. And so all of this goes together mm-hmm. as you, not mistake-free, but as you move into saying yes to something.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, what a beautiful dream. And so in this dream, the dream, because I remember it, and it would still be affecting me whether I did or not, this dream is still living out through my journeying.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that it came out today. It unfolded today. I loved all the projections, your projections. It gave it even more meaning, more value in a way. It gave me more understanding. So I also imagined while I was listening to your projections, this is what a session with Royce Fitz is like.
This is.
And I loved that because we've always been in group. I've never actually had a one-on-one with you. So this was really, really wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, well, that touches me. And I'm aware of that too. We haven't had a chance to do that. And the beauty of this kind of format in our podcast is, you know, the scores of listeners that are a part of this, as each listener has his or her or their projections mm-hmm. upon the dream. Mm-hmm. And as you were responding, as I was projecting, the listener will also have a different take.
Absolutely.
A slightly different, beautiful perspective.
Yes.
Even as I'm speaking, and you know, I'm teasing myself, and I speak with authority, and it's like, wait a second, somebody else out there heard my words and had a more beautiful or a different take on
yeah.
even what I was saying.
Yep.
And so that is why group dream work is, I have goosebumps right now talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Every person who's been listening to this is providing their beautiful perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's theirs. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's their dream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I know that in Billy's groups, you know, if it's a group of, I don't know, 7, 10, and I'm the dreamer mm-hmm. and everyone's projecting mm-hmm. on my dream, oh, mm-hmm. it's like a soul massage in a way mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. each person brings their projection and it just feels so good. And I end up resonating with a little bit of everybody and I mm-hmm. see myself more clearly as a result of it. So that is wonderful. And this was wonderful too, yes. just getting yeah. it one-on-one.
So Viviana and I were working on her beautiful dream when she was only 18 and how that dream changed her life. And I had an experience yesterday, Viviana.
Yesterday?
Yes, I have to tell you this story because it is like the thin line, the veil between what we call waking world and dream world is often so, so thin and wavy.
Yeah.
Okay. So as I am working on this book thing that I can't point to because I'm so left-handed, Thea, my publisher, asked me to read a book from another author. And I had some time yesterday to do that. And so I was outside in the hot July sun, but I was in a shade, but it was like I needed to get outside. And so I had my computer as a PDF book. So it took me a couple hours to get through the whole book because it's short and the person who wrote it is very artsy. So they have also included some beautiful drawings and pictures by their own creation that fit into the context of the book. So in a nutshell, this is a book about the author's experience of her husband dying about 10 years prior. And she calls the book The Widow's Roadmap. And as an artist, she can take words and offer them as drawings. So periodically, as she's telling her story of shock and grief and sadness and being overwhelmed, as we all can imagine, she also has these beautiful drawings that help the reader to visualize this deep process of trying to grapple with this aspect of life and death and life again. You know, how does one put together their own roadmap after tragedy happens? So I'm outside in beautiful nature, reading this book, feeling and reading and carrying these images of what this person has drawn and how she has described her long 10-year journey. So I feel, you know, as you shared earlier, Viviana, you feel the essence of whatever all of this is from all levels. And that's how you sometimes make decisions or are called to do something. I have my own version of that. I'm feeling the heaviness, somewhat the joy, the curiosity, the dread, the beauty of this journey, feeling it deeply. And also identifying, like, what would I do? What would I feel like? How would I handle myself if this kind of experience of death were to come to me? Okay, so I read all of this and I'm starting, you know, I was asked to write a review, and so I'm carrying all of that. It's just percolating without necessarily words, but more impressions and thoughts and images. And so I was getting ready to go back into my home, and I had my computer, and I opened my door, and in that movement, there was this monarch-looking moth. And I looked it up. It isn't exactly a monarch, but there are moths that do look like monarchs. Anyway, from where I was sitting outside, somehow, as soon as I opened the door, this moth appears, this butterfly appears, and goes right through the door into my home. And it's like, what is this? And it's like, what am I going to do with a butterfly flying around my house? And so I tried to find ways to get it out. And you know, the only way, it was like, I've got to swat it. Well, I'm not going to do that. So I thought, in its own time, So I kind of kept the door open and closed, whatever, you know, because I didn't want other bugs to fly in or come in. But it's like, what? And so I'm walking around the house and watching this butterfly fly around. And it's like, why is this here? Well, then, you know, all at the same time, I'm thinking the symbolisms of butterflies in dreams and also in the waking world, of how butterflies in dreams and in the waking world symbolize transformation, symbolize one form of death moving into a new form of life.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's like, what? And so as I sat down to write this review, I could not help but lift this waking dream into the review, because this is what this felt like, is this is more than an open door and a bug flying in. This is about another level of awareness that the dream world, and perhaps the world on the other side, it's like there's a coming together of this, a coming together. And so I wondered, is this the author's spirit that yearned, that dreamed the dream, that called forth this butterfly? Is it the butterfly that called forth this image? Is it the person who passed away? Are they represented in this butterfly moment? And so I hold all of those up with wonder. And as we say, you can't make this stuff up.
Oh, I love that. I very much resonate with that as well. And I feel like the native peoples before the cities and everything grew up, native peoples used to watch for these symbols. And I, in my waking life, even if I see, I count the hawks, the amount of hawks that I see. And then for me, a hawk is a messenger. So I also, I take note of what is it that I'm thinking right when the hawk, when I see the hawk, or what is going on in the radio. So I pay attention to those messages also. And I know you don't resonate so much with Tarot, but it's what Tarot taught me to do. Mm-hmm. It's how I got even more, I became more connected with this whole thing, with the union, the bug that came through right when the dreamer was talking about it. And then you reading this book and then happening to find the butterfly as a symbol, and all that is what I love finding in my life. Mm-hmm. And it very much speaks to me.
And there is a calling out of our ancientness, as you alluded to, before we got this quote unquote sophisticated, civilized lifestyle.
Yep.
We felt the earth. We felt the energy of how the earth is changing and forming, and the storms, as well as the brilliant beauty.
Yeah.
We were of this, and we were not separate of it. We are all a part of this amazing circle.
I suspect we dreamt a lot more. And speaking of circle, we would tell each other our dreams as well. Mm. You know, it's all part of the whole thing as well. For me, it's part of the same soup.
the same luscious dream soup. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah. No, that was very much resonated, and very much the way I take notice every day of the little symbols that come through. Mm-hmm. That which also reminds me, and I was thinking of that, what, you know how that often I'll be thinking of somebody. Yesterday I was thinking of somebody, it came through, I kept thinking of Emily, kept thinking of Emily, and then I look at my phone and Emily's texted me and she's been trying to call me. So I think that that's also, now that we have this immediate connection, I think we need to jot those moments down too. And we'll find that we are much more psychic, maybe, or in tune with this kind of energy, these energies that come through, that I think we feel and are more in, or we are antennas in a way, and we're more in tune than we might think we are.
Well, what you're reminding me of is if how we look at a dream, and you know, we get shocked by it, we call it unusual, or how we look at what is sometimes called a coincidence, and we're, you know, startled by the coincidence. However, if we do what you are suggesting, if we take note in some manner, we're going to see a lot more of this, because
yeah,
this happens all the time. Excuse me. So I consider synchronistic droplets to be as common as raindrops. And we have a few a year that we may notice and say, well, that was weird or cool. Just like dreams, we have thousands of dreams a year. We remember a few and we say, well, that was scary or embarrassing. And then we dismiss it. If we pay attention to this, this is like a constant rain ball of the droplets of synchronistic energies remind me of dreams. And the constant flow of dreams remind me of synchronistic droplets that always occur.
Absolutely. Amen. I love it. Yes. All right.
So I was thinking again about Viviana's dream, and there was one of the elements in the dream that I meant to bring up, and then in the excitement of exploring other elements, this one was accidentally put aside. Viviana, you talked about people were watching me in my dream. I feel their eyes. I notice their attention. And in the waking world, I feel, thank you, I feel the energy. And in the waking world, while I'm visiting my beloved friend in Spain, and I feel the energy of the audience, all of her family. So in the dream, where I went in my projection is, this is not only the people that I can physically see, these are the ones, these are ancestral energies. And all of this was coming together in a great crescendo of beauty, that when we grow in the waking world, when we are moving into new growth and new possibilities, and we're taking steps, no matter how scary or how hard or how awful, when we are expanding ourselves in the dream world, and in you know, either metaphorically or literally, our ancestral energies are cheering us on. Because as we change and grow and unfold and expand, they do too. And so here is this, and I get goosebumpies on this. Here I feel all these eyes upon me. I feel their energy. And it's some of the people that I know physically, some of the people that I'm seeing. And also, this is my ancestral energies, or the energies, not just my literal ancestors, but all the energies of the world that is cheering our growth on, because it leads us all to change and healing and growth and expansion.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
So, and if I may say, as a theologian, I can sneak that in. In my understanding and in process philosophy / process theology, that we are inside of whatever we call God, goddess, we are inside this creation. And so all of this stuff that's inside of creation is dialoguing, having conversations with each other. And this energy, this unity that we might call God, goddess, is also experiencing creation and change and expansion. And so in this dream where, borrowing Viviana's dream, in this dream where I feel all the energies from all of these ones watching, so the ancestors, okay, and also the energies of creation are celebrating this moment, this molecular moment in history, as an expansive moment that's never before existed and will forever influence every other moment in eternity. So in lay terms, it's like God was cheering me on too. God felt this beautiful moment of creation. And God enjoyed this, felt this, and is changed by this forever. God is changed forever because of the music I was creating. What a great moment of celebration.
Wow. Wow. So let's take that, the jumping point. So tell us about roespitz.com.
Okay. So thank you for identifying that this is like a session with Royce. And I feel energized and in deep gratitude when this kind of circular conversation begins to take place, because I grow and I change, and I'm grateful for the dream and the dreamer to help us both change and grow. My work in the world is this, and also I work in the military world, which is a real challenge to our dreams, because we have the potential to have waking life nightmares. And this is a way for me to participate in the shadow side of ourselves that is sometimes expressed by our military, and find beauty and light and healing, and to have that circular process. So sometimes when I work with military people, we talk dreams. And that too is enriching. And a bit like going to Spain after having never been there, because it's like, what are we talking about, Royce? What are we doing? And it changes a person forever. They may not want to admit it, or they may push it down, and a person is changed. So this is my spiritual counseling and dream work aspect of who I am. And another part is, as we alluded to earlier, let's see, I can get my... I'm so left-handed. You can see my book, and it's coming out in mid-October. And we're getting ready to do some launch things for it. And people can send me emails right now at roespitz.com. and be the first to receive notice that you can jump on and purchase the book and immerse yourself in the world of journeying in the dream world as well as in the physical world.
Excellent. Beautiful. Yes. So you, the dream, huh?
Interview. Let's interview Viviana and her world that we've touched on a bit.
Well, my website is viviana.org, and my dream/tarot/astrology self is viviana.org/magic. And you, the listener, I encourage you to come and put in the comments your own projections on my dream, on our dreams, the dreams that show up on the podcast. And if you want to, you are welcome to call the Dreamer Hotline. I'll say that number. It's 720-573-9195. 720-573-9195. You're welcome to email your dream as well. We want to hear your dreams. So please send them in. We are the Healing Dreams Project podcast. Please remember to like and subscribe and share and tell your friends about us. Share your dreams with your friends. Write down your dreams. Remember them. It helps perpetuate what we love to do, and you'll be surprised, or maybe you'll find that the dreams have a lot to reveal to us all. So yes,
and you, the listener's dream, is going to help the world, just as Viviana's dream unlocked travel and beauty and adventure that helps to heal the world with music. Every dream that the listener has is yearning to help all of us to change our waking life world.
Perfect. Exactly. Well, this is the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes. Mm-hmm. The wonderful world of dreaming. Of dreams. Until next time, thank you so much, Royce. Thank you, the listener. And we will see you next time. Happy dreaming. Till then.